Lawin Media Network.
Bringing to you the most relevant content across all platforms.
Business, legal, politics, health, lifestyle, and entertainment.
Your source for all the news and updates in the greater Houston community from Texas and all over the world.
Get informed and empowered with Lawin Media Network.
The following program is produced by Lawin Media Network. The views and opinions expressed in this program are solely those of the individuals appearing on the show and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Lawin Media Network, its affiliates, sponsors, or partners. The content provided in this program is intended for informational and entertainment purposes only. Lawin Media Network does not guarantee the accuracy, completeness, or timeliness of the information.
Hello, good evening, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Be Bold, Why Not? You are watching us live on Facebook, YouTube, Twitch.tv, and stream.lawin.live. Of course, Be Bold exists because we are here to challenge you to break through your limits and step confidently into the life you've always wanted. I'm your host, MJ. And every week, we're here to bring you powerful stories and insights that will inspire you to take fearless action, whether it's through conversations with inspiring individuals who've dared to make a difference or practical tips on how to build the life you deserve. This podcast is your guide to living boldly. And of course, for our season, we've been talking about leadership with passion. And I would like to start with a quote from John Maxwell. Oh, he's one of my favorite leaders. You know, he is a pioneer in the leadership realm where he has written lots of books on leadership. And according to him, the pessimist complains about the wind. The optimist expects it to change, but the leader adjusts the sail. Wow, that's very profound. It's very true. A true good leader adapts to change. So tonight, I am very privileged to have a very good leader in the community. You know, he is a leader. He is a CPA. He's an entrepreneur. He has it. He has all these roles that he has done for the Filipino-American community in the many years of his life here in the United States, and we're going to learn about him tonight. He is a certified public accountant by profession, and he is also an entrepreneur. He has a lot of accolades, but I'm going to wait for him to actually share us what he really does, and we're going to learn about his business. We're going to learn about his leadership involvement in the community. I am very, very pleased to introduce to you tonight our very special guest, Mr. Randy Datu. Good evening po.
Randy. Thank you for having me, and I hope I can share whatever experience I have for so many years of being a leader.
Of course po. We're going to know about everything in your life. So First off, before we start, I just want to remind our viewers that, as we always do, we have a game. So the more comments you make on our Facebook page or on our YouTube, the more chances you're going to have to win a prize tonight. And for tonight, we're going to make sure that we're going to draw two winners. We failed to draw another one last week, but this week, I promise you, we're going to have two winners for tonight. So please participate. Feel free to give your shout outs, comments. If you have any questions, feel free to do so too. And we'll try our very best to answer them. And to our viewers there in the Philippines, maraming salamat po again for tuning in. So to start off, Kuya Randy, I just want to ask you, where you're from in the Philippines?
I was born in San Manuel Isabela, from the north, with the parents of Kapampangan and Ilocana. So I have 50-50.
Okay.
I grew up in Isabela from elementary to from birth to high school, and then when I get to college is in Manila.
So Kapampangan and Ilocano, huh? So both. Oh my gosh! You are good. You probably are a good cook. I'm Ilocano too. I'm from the north. So, yeah. And I know Kapampangans, they cook really good too, right?
Yes.
So do you love to cook?
Yes, especially pinakbet, dinuguan, kilawin. Yeah. And typical, provinciano. We learn everything from our parents as we grow up. And of course, we always do a lot of things, especially during those days that there's not even electricity to talk about. So
I know we use kahoy, right? And then or the lamp. Have you experienced
the
that?
Lamp, the lamp. We call it hasag, which is the coleman.
Yeah.
Actually, they call it coleman, but it is actually that's the brand of the. Of the light. So
yes,
we have persevered actually while growing up. You know, we have to study without the electricity, but that was the situation then. So now the kids are luckier because they have all the facilities, not only environmental wise, but they have the materials to use for studying.
Yeah, that's very true. So growing up, so how many siblings do you have?
I got four boys.
And, all boys? You're all boys? Wow, youngest, are you are you the oldest?
My youngest is 30 years old now and the oldest is 42. And I got four apo.
Okay, you have four children, but how many brothers and sisters do you have, po?
I got total seven, so I got six. I got six siblings. So I'm the fourth for the seven kids. So I learned from my brothers and older brothers and sisters, and then from the younger kids too.
Yeah, so growing up, what were your interests? What did you want to become when you grow up, like when you were a little boy?
Well, at first, I'm thinking of finishing college, so that at least you will have a stable job eventually, and you don't want to experience, of course, the way you were brought up, because of course you cannot blame your parents because they are not that rich, so you have to really work hard for your future. So in elementary, I'm just an average student, but in high school I started being active, being an officer in the PMT, like that. And then since I'm with the Catholic school, I always volunteer as a sacristan. You know what sacristan
means?
Yeah. The Catholic priest.
Yes, yes. So you actually had experience like serving and being a leader early on in your life.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's how you were trained. So when you came to the US, you actually wanted to continue that, right? But before we go to actual, you know, your involvement in the community and all that, we want to learn more about your childhood. As you said, you started serving as a sacristan, you became a leader in your school at the same time. So growing up, knowing all these hardships too, as you have shared, life, it was difficult growing up. It's all the same for everybody, I think. That's why we always have this dream in our mind, like growing up, we want to be somebody. We want to become, you know, like for me, I always wanted to become a public speaker, but I had to become a nurse because you couldn't help my family becoming a public speaker, you know. So, but you became an accountant. Were you always good at numbers? Because I know accounting is hard, and to, let alone passing the CPA board in the Philippines is really, really hard. So how did you manage that?
Well, if you are determined and you have the plan, especially, you know, that we were brought up, we are really focused on what we always dream. Since my dream is a little bit, not that big, but of course, at first I was just thinking of finishing college, you know, not even thinking of being a certified accountant. But eventually, you know, as you, as the time goes by and that, the environment and even the opportunity always, you know, push you to the limit. So
that's right.
I tried my best to finish, especially my auntie is also one of the professor in the college in PSB. So I'm being always challenged because I don't want to be, you know, an embarrassment to her because she's one of the top notcher, top 10.
Wow, that's very impressive. So it runs in your family, it seems like. You were a math wizard probably. Because I mean, I'm not kidding. Even here in the US, accounting is really hard. It's tough. But when you pass the board, I mean, it makes you good income, I believe. So before we move on to more questions, I just want to read some of the comments. We already have a lot of comments here for tonight. I'm so excited. Yes, from Aramina Ungria. Good morning, Pumam MJ, watching from Pangasinan. Yes, thank you so much, Ara. And then, of course, Joanne Estarija. Good morning, Mom MJ. Good morning to Joanne. And we have Alvin Reyes. Have a blessed morning, ma'am. Watching from Pangasinan. Andami po nating fans sa Pangasinan. Maraming salamat. And then Joanne again. Good morning, Sir Randy and Ma'am MJ. Watching from Pangasinan. We have Rochelle Daseco. Good evening, Texas. Watching from the Philippines. Lisa Regilman Ungria. Good morning, ma'am and sir. Watching from the Philippines. And then, of course, we have Aramina. Have a blessed day, Ma'am MJ and Sir Randy, watching from the Philippines. We have Ovtia Gurova. Aramina Ungria, send me a friend request or a direct message. Okay. Alvin Reyes. Anyway, okay, these are comments for... Anyway, Amadeo Junio. Good morning, Ma'am MJ, watching from the Philippines. And... Tita Delia Ligot, good evening, Texas. Hello, MJ and Mr. Randy. God bless po sa inyo. Wow! See, ang dami po nating mga viewers from the Philippines. Maraming salamat po. They've always been watching our show and we can't appreciate you enough for supporting us. It's already past our first segment po. So it goes by so quick. So we have to go on a break and we'll be back shortly and we will continue to chat with Mr. Randy Datu. So see you in a little bit. Okay. All right, we're back. Ang bilis po, ano? So, fast forward, like, when you were in college, because you said that you did not really, like, you didn't have a definite plan what to do in college. But when did you realize that you actually wanted to become an accountant?
Well, I was influenced by my auntie, who is, I said, the professor in PSBA. So, mm-hmm. and, you know, I listened to her because she has the experience already. So mm-hmm. I said, maybe that's the best, so that at least if eventually I graduate, I take the board and then possibly earn the same income that she has.
Is it quite challenging to work with numbers or is it boring? What do you think, Paul?
Accounting is actually not limited to numbers, but more mm-hmm. on analytical. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's the art of analyzing also. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. not limited to numbers. So, but of course, in the board, you have to cover a lot, you know, whatever you learned the past 4 years, it is what you will be taking now on the exam. Back mm-hmm. then, when we took the board, calculator is not even allowed. So we mm-hmm. have to make a good presentation and do it in the worksheet so that at least you can get some points if ever your numbers is off. Mm-hmm. It doesn't balance. So. But at least you get points because the principle is there, because you were able to present. But because the time limit, you have to just make a good presentation so that you have better points.
Okay, so Paul, did you work as an accountant in the Philippines before you came to the United States?
Yes, I started with an accounting firm for 2 years and then moved to Far East Bank for 2 years and then eventually to Allied Bank. For those 16 years of working in the Philippines, I work as an auditor. So I've been around the Philippines for most of the time.
Mm-hmm. And then coming to the U.S., how did you come to the U.S.? Is it by your job or is it a family petition? How did you, or your wife, or how did you come to the U.S.?
I came here as a dependent of my wife temporarily. And then eventually I landed the job as an assistant controller mm-hmm. in Hartford. So, mm-hmm. and then... from there, at least I'm able to take care of the kids because we got, at the time we have 3 kids already. So, you know, in the U.S., it's really challenging because you have to adjust not only weather-wise, environment, or to deal with people. You know, I'm good in dealing with people, but of course, different nationality is a little bit challenging.
Yes.
So, at least after 6 years there in Connecticut, we moved here in Texas. And now we live here in Texas for at least 30-something years. Mm-hmm. So half of my life is spent here in the U.S.
Yeah, so I know it's a little bit of a challenge, especially, you know, the same thing that a lot of husbands or spouses in here in the U.S., when they come here and they take on different roles that they're not expected to do, right? I know it's different because in the Philippines, especially if you are the man, you are the head of the family. But for some situations, especially in our profession, like I'm a nurse, we get our husbands here in the U.S. and sometimes they have to take care of the family instead of landing a job, that it's even hard to get a job that's related to your profession when you were in the Philippines, right? So how was that for you? Because I know it's hard being used to the role of a head of the family. You lead the family, but at some point in your life, you have to kind of give that role to your spouse because of the situation. How did you handle that?
Well, my wife, being a nurse, she has a flexible time. So me, I'm working during the day and she works at night. And we practically handle, the household chores together. And at the same time, taking care of the three kids.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the time we have three kids in there, but the youngest was born here in Texas. So at first, looking for a job in the U.S. is really, especially if you are overqualified, you can find a managerial. If you are a managerial in the Philippines, you can immediately, unless that your course is in demand or in your experience too. So
yeah, I feel you, because that's the same thing with my husband, because he's in IT, he's a computer programmer, and before we came to the US he was already a programmer in the Philippines, but he had to start, as you said, you were probably overqualified because you had 16 years of experience as an auditor in the Philippines.
Yes.
So they won't give you a job that they think that they're not going to pay you enough because of your qualification. That's the thing here in the United States. So that's a little bit of a challenge. But even then, what were you, was there a period in your life where you said that, oh, I can't do this, I think I need to go back to the Philippines, because I'm like, you already had a great job or something. Yes. But did you come to that point of actually just, because it's a pride, right, for men to think of, like stepping down as the head of the family and all that. But did you have that kind of challenge, or you were just, it's for your family's sake, you can do anything, right?
Yeah, at first you are thinking of that because of the luxury that you all enjoy in the Philippines. You have helper, you got someone to take care of your son. So, at the time it's only one, but when we get here, we got three. So it's much more challenging, actually, taking care of one. And then you work, and then the wife works, and you do the household chores. So, but it is a good thing that you experience this, because, of course, it's a good accomplishment being a father, not only a professional, but also a professional parent.
That's right. Kasi nga po, as I said, being a leader is not about a position or having power, right? It's about leading your own family, leading your own children, being a role model especially for your children. So having four kids, so you have four kids, four, right? All boys?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And you have apos already?
Yes.
Wow, that's amazing. But when did you realize that you don't want to be an employer or employee anymore, and you wanted to actually become an entrepreneur? Because I know that you have a lot of businesses in the U.S. So when did that start, when you wanted to actually become your own boss, so you don't have to be under someone's payroll?
Yeah, actually, I have an experience already in the Philippines, because I used to live with my brother, who has a wholesale business, retail and wholesale business. So I'm inclined to, if we have the opportunity to set up a business, why not? At least you have all the time in this world, you can manage, not actually following only the working time with your boss. Now I'm the boss, so I can mm-hmm. work when I want to work. And mm-hmm. if I work more, of course, I will earn more. So mm-hmm. Being patient and having the knowledge of running a business coupled with my profession, I opened three companies here so that at least I can, at least I have something eventually to leave behind to my kids also mm-hmm. or my grandkids.
Mm-hmm. So what different type of challenge did you have putting up your own business compared to being an employee? So was it hard? Was it difficult to start your own business, Bo?
Not as hard as in the Philippines. In the Philippines, first of all, capital is a problem. Here, you mm-hmm. can always borrow if you don't have money to start the business. Mm-hmm. And maybe, of course, to establish a client is much more challenging because you are dealing with your different nationality, not mm-hmm. only limited to Filipinos, because you know you have to offer your services or your products to other nationalities so that at least you can expand the business. So that's one of the difficulty. Of course, at first, it is difficult because you have to work hard, especially in the grocery business. You really mm-hmm. have to spend a lot of time. If you have 24 hours, you have to spend about 16 hours sometimes just mm-hmm. to complete all the work that you should be doing. Especially me, I have to do marketing and at the same time doing the back office, you know. So, but because of my experience in the Philippines, I was able to manage it. And on top of that, I always attend to my civic duties as a leader, you know.
Yes, yes. So would you rather be like now, are you working more? Because you said sometimes you have to spend 16 hours in your business, or were you would you still do business even though you have to put a lot of time into it, right? Because of course it's your business. You want to grow it. You want to make big in the community and all that. So was that like a little bit of a bottleneck there when you had to work so much, especially with like your kids growing up? Did you have to spend yeah. more time with growing your business? How was that for you?
That was 16 hours. That was then, but now probably I'm just working as part time because of my age, I cannot work. And besides, I have to allocate some time for the organizations that I had that I hit. So I just work part time right now.
Well, that's good. It's, yeah, as you said, you're your own boss now. So anyway, we have another comment that we have to read before we go on a break from Juvera Reyes. Good evening, Texas. Watching from Pangasinan. All right, Juvera. Well, I think that's it for this segment again. We've been enjoying our conversation with Kuya Randy Dato. I hope that you all are learning from us tonight. Like becoming an employee versus putting up your own business. You can actually, both are challenging because, of course, being under someone's payroll, you have to be there a certain time and all that. And in putting up your business, in the beginning, it takes a lot of hard work, it takes a lot of effort. But once you establish your business, you actually can just be the boss and overlook everything, and you can just hire people to do the job for you. So both ways, there are challenges. But of course, being a boss, having your own business, being an entrepreneur, there are also a lot of perks. You have your time freedom. You have Of course, you can have unlimited income. The more you work, the better chances of you succeeding in life if you have your own business. We have another comment. Good evening, Texas. Watching from Puerto Rubio, from Mark Carlo DeSeco. So let's go on a short break again, and we will be back.
Salamat po, Bibold Wynat. Happy anniversary. God bless.
Good evening, Bibold. Thank you for always sharing with us different life stories. You know that every episode is a must watch. All right, thank you. We're back. So just to sum up whatever we've learned from Kuya Randy for tonight, he has shared to us about his childhood, you know, how life is hard there, being like there's no technology back then, of course. And then, of course, CPA, he became a CPA, although he didn't know what he wanted to do in the beginning, but he became a CPA. And he came to the U.S., took on a role in different companies, and also being a father of four children, and he put up his own business. And on top of all those things, I mean, he has a lot of involvement in the community. Let me just read some of the organizations that he actually has led in the Filipino-American community. Currently, he is the president of the Filipino American Accountants of Texas. He is also a regional commander of USA Central Region of Knights of Rizal. He is area commander of Texas Area Command Knights of Rizal from 2018 to 2020, and president Knights of Rizal Texas Area Foundation from 2018 to the present. And these are just few. I mean, it's like if I read everything, it's down the line. He has a lot of involvement in the community. How do you manage to do all that, Po? You have a business, you have Apos already, and you are very active in the community. How do you manage all that? And what really drove you to become this involved in the Filipino-American community? I know you have experience during your childhood serving, assisting the priest and all that, but is that something that you've always wanted growing up? Because I know every single one of us has this passion inside of us that we want to make a difference. So Is that something you've always wanted, Bo, to really continue serving our community?
Well, everything started in the Philippines. So as I've said, I've been active on some civic action, especially when I was a corps commander of PSBA. We do a lot of civic action, like helping during typhoon, helping the victims. And then also during election, we used to volunteer also. And actually one of the one that groomed me to be a future leader, because maybe I got this from my father, because he is very sociable.
Okay.
And here in the U.S., you know, you see a lot of opportunities for you to be of help to other organization. That's why when we move before we move here in Texas, I used to be vice president in the Philcon Bowling Association there in Connecticut. There's less Filipinos there than here in Texas. And then when we move here, we joined the Philam Lions Club, wherein I became a president also. And then at the same time, we become active with the Tagalog Association. We have scholars back home in the Philippines. And that's why every year we go home there, so we can talk to the scholars and, of course, the parents. And then here, I became a chairman of the umbrella organization also. The used to be FACOST, but now it's FACT, the Philippine American Council of Texas. And from there, we actually revive all those Philippine Festival, Philippine Lantern Festival, and a lot more, you know.
Yes.
And then, of course, it's nice to be active in this organization, because they're helping our kababayans back home in the Philippines. When we, when I was a president of when the Yolanda, hit the Philippines, we were able to send one container in the Philippines through the Philam Lions Club, and with the help of the different organization under the umbrella. So, so we were able to help our kababayan. But not only that, even when was the typhoon that hit the Metro Manila, I think back then we also sent some help in there. And of course, now that I'm with the Knight of Rizal, we become active here, and we always help our kababayan in the Philippines. And lately, we try to help the hospital on wheels through our fellow knight, Ponsalan. So we by joining a lot of organizations, you are able to help rather than working alone and sending your own donation. But at least in here, you're able to consolidate a lot of help, and you're able to help more people.
Yes, of course. And, you know, we are blessed to be in the United States. As they say, this is the land of opportunities, right? And our kababayans back home, it's hard, because even though it's cheaper to live in the Philippines, but we all know that we even have a lot of graduates back home that don't even have jobs. And in the US, you can get a job easily. It's up to you. As long as you don't choose what kind of job, you can work, you can make money. The only thing is, of course, sometimes it's a little bit of a challenge when you try to help people in the Philippines too, though, because it feels like sometimes they think it's easy, right, Kuya Randy, to make money here. But you're right. When you're part of an organization, you have a whole team, a lot of people coming together to help. So that makes it easier. And like if you're doing it by yourself, it's a little bit of a challenge. And it's also not easy to actually put up this fundraising events, because yes, not everybody has the same vision that, and not everybody are into it. But is it challenging in like your role as different presidents of different organizations for those so many years? Has it been a bit of a challenge actually trying to get the Filipino community together, coming together to help out whenever things like that happen back home?
Yeah, it is really a big challenge, you know, but I'm lucky that my wife, we have the same passion also. We work together in order to help a lot of people. So, and of course, you know, as a leader, you have to set the example. If you work, and of course, the other people will follow, rather than just telling them, okay, you do this, you do that, and then you just watch in, you know, sometimes what they call in our place, if you are taga Tanawan or taga Tayuman.
Yeah, that's very true.
Yeah, it doesn't work. So you show them that what you are asking them to do, you can do it. And that's a good leader. And of course, as a good leader, you have to be a good follower too. So if you join, you know, even if you are no longer the president, you still have to help, because, you know, you have to continue whatever the passion that you have started, and you enjoy, especially if you see a lot of people that you are able to help, both local and back home in the Philippines. Because in here, we're active also in helping, especially during Thanksgiving. You know, through the Lions Club, we participate in the Feed the Hungry. And then partner with the other Lions Club also locally. So, sponsor a project, whatever project that they have. And what is more interesting is there's an yearly also that you participate in the project, especially for the handicapped kids.
Yes.
And it's
You made a really good point. You made a really good point po about leadership. Sabi nga po nila, you have to walk the talk, right? And talk, not just do the talking and not walking with the talk. So you have to walk the talk. Because as a leader, as you have said, you have to set the example. And if you're a leader who just is very rigid and who's just giving the command and like not listening to the input of your team or of your organization, that organization ends up breaking up. I know there's a lot of, you know, organizations that fall apart because of leadership. But if the leadership in the organizations are actually the ones that are showing the right example of having a successful organization, then they're going to follow. They're going to follow. And that's very good, because you are making a lot of difference in a lot of people's lives. And you can just imagine one life at a time that becomes many lives. And that affects many generations, because helping a person is like you're helping the whole generation of that family or wherever family that person came from. Well, we have more comments, so let's read some of them before we go again on another break. All right, from Joanne Esteria, I am happy to show Texas today. God bless all po. Thank you so much. And Rodrigo Fabia. Good evening, Mom MJ, watching from the Philippines. Good evening, Rodrigo. Thank you so much for watching us. So we're going to go on another break. And when we come back, we're going to continue to talk about the other involvement of Kuya Randy in the community. I'm excited for you to share po your plans for the KOR. I know you have a big project. So I think we're going to focus on that when we come back. So let's see you in a bit.
Thank you.
In a world filled with fleeting moments, there's beauty waiting to be captured. My name is Christian, and I specialize in immortalizing your most precious memories. From elegant weddings to vibrant events and timeless portraits, I'm here to make every moment unforgettable. Let me tell your story through the lens. Contact me today and let's create magic together.
In a world cluttered with information, where truth is power, Law & Weekly News stands apart.
We delve deeper, uncover facts, and bring stories to light. From political showdowns and economic triumphs to the pulse of the street and the heart of the community.
We capture the moments that define us, stories that challenge, inspire, and transform.
Tune in live Sundays, 8 a.m. Central.
All right, we're back and we're now at the last segment of the show. So before we continue on, Paul, I want to focus on the project that Knights of Rizal actually is going to have. I know it's a big project, but before that, I just want to ask you, is there someone in your life, a leader that you kind of look up to and try to model the way that you lead the organizations that you've been a president of, or been the leader or chairman or whatever the position you call it, or in your family, who's that person or somebody that you actually look up to that you're following?
Back home in the Philippines, my uncle used to be the first mayor in the town. Mm-hmm. And then another uncle continued, you know. So we're a little bit active on politics, but not my family, but my relatives. Mm-hmm. So that's where I developed some kind of, you know, politics. Although when I was there, I was young, I'm not that sociable, but I just try to enjoy life as a kid and sometimes mm-hmm. Work as what my parents told me to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think it's just that you really wanted to have a better life growing up, and that's what we all want. Like mm-hmm. when we are young, we dream about just finishing college, because we know that from our parents back home in the Philippines, they always tell us that your education is the best inheritance that I can pass on to you. So that's why we have that mindset that we just want to graduate and become, you know, and become a professional or something. But you've done so many things in your life. You didn't only become a professional, and let alone a certified public accountant in the Philippines, but now you have your own business. You have led a lot of organizations. And I just want you to talk about the Knights of Rizal, because this is very important for our viewers to know. This is very exciting because Knights of Rizal has a big project here in Houston, Texas. Tell us about that, Paul.
Well, Knights of Rizal here started about more than 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. And back then, we're one of the smallest group in Texas. And probably about 10 years ago, when I became a chapter commander, me and attorney Mel Garaton, we planned of expanding it so that we can propagate legacy of Dr. Jose Rizal, mm-hmm. as mandated by by Republic Act 646, which mm-hmm. is to promote the life and works of Dr. Jose Rizal. And now going back to the project, since the time that we become big already. Normally, if you talk to people that about Rizal, and they said Rizal is actually our hero, but they listen, but they don't pay attention that much.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they jokingly said, "Oh, I'm for Bonifacio," like that. So later on, we thought of something that will really leave a mark
mm-hmm.
For the community. So we thought of putting up a big project, which is the Rizal Park.
Yes.
Not as big as Luneta, but of yeah. course, a place where Filipino Pilam here in Houston can have a picnic, or if we are lucky that we have eventually a center, we can have some parties or socialization. So mm-hmm. that is the big picture that we actually are thinking. So we started the foundation 6 years ago mm-hmm. So we can do the fundraising. And so far we got lucky because at least there are people that are supporting us. But this is not a short plan, but it is a long yes. one. But mm-hmm. at least if we are able to start while we are still around in this world,
mm-hmm.
We are able to jumpstart the project, and the younger ones will be continuing the project.
Yes, that's
in relation yeah. to this one also. We did not only expand the Knights of Rizal, but we also formed the Caparis, which is the mm-hmm. Rizal Youth. So that at least this is where we can train future leaders mm-hmm. and that can replace us. So
yes.
this is an ambitious project, but hopefully we can get enough support by doing all the fundraising, so that at least we can come up the initial stage of the project.
Wow, that is, you said it's ambitious, but it takes a lot of courage and boldness to do it, right? And leading yes. the community to actually put up something here in Houston, Texas, like a little Luneta. It may not be as big as Luneta, but you're right. It's a place where the Filipino-American community can enjoy, and actually it's a legacy that we can leave for the future generations. And having the Caparis too, that's a good project because you're now training leaders, Filipino-American leaders here in the U.S. And for those people who are watching probably that don't know Jose Rizal is our national hero, and he's the one who used knowledge and writing and all that to actually free the Philippines from years, hundreds of years of bondage from the people that colonized or the countries that colonized the Philippines. He was not the, he didn't do, it's not bloodshed. It's more of battle of knowledge and just, yeah, he used the pen to free the Philippines, and he's one of our heroes in the Philippines. He's considered the national hero. And it's good that our youngsters here, our young people here, actually get to know and learn about our history, right? Because that's very important. They have, even though they grew up here, they have to learn about the culture and the history of the Philippines. And I just want to ask, Paul, what are the three, in three words, Paul, the most important things that you have learned as a lesson all your life? Three words, in three words, Paul. At your age now, what are those three words that you can actually pass on to all our viewers, the most important lessons you have learned in your life?
Well, be passionate. When you do something, you have to really plan and make sure that you do it, not only by planning, but also implement or you execute the plan. And of course, you have to, as a leader, you have to lead by passion, because if you don't have the passion, you cannot be successful. And of course, one of them also is commitment, because that is important. If you don't, if you are not committed, you know, you're just one of the other leaders that just talk and talk, as you said.
Yes, yes. So those are very important points. So for all our viewers, and as again I said, you know, you don't have to have like the power, you don't have to have the position, but you can be a leader of your own life, you can be a leader of your own family, and to live your life with a passion. You can lead your life in your own terms without anybody telling you what to do, because it's your life. But if you lead an organization, of course, you have to listen to your team. You have to listen to your organization. You have to be open and flexible and adaptable. And you have to lead with positivity. It's hard to follow someone who just wants to be followed and they don't want to listen to other people. You have to be an example of a great leader, because that's how you're going to make an organization actually successful. That's how you're going to make your family successful. Even in your own family, if you don't listen to your partner, if you don't listen to your kids, I mean, it's not a good dynamics in the family. I think we're going to read the last comment, or one of the few comments, before we actually choose or pick the two winners for tonight. We have Fem Veranga Maniago watching here in Manaol, Pangasinan. Dami po nating viewers from Pangasinan. Maraming salamat po. I think we're gonna draw the winner before we ask Kuya Randy about his last message for our viewers. Are we ready to draw the winners? All right, let's see. For our first winner. Oh, wow. Congratulations, Amadeo Junio. So, Amadeo, you will be contacted. How you're going to get your claim, your prize, or you can message me on my messenger, MJ Verzosa Concepcion. Let's draw our second winner. Yes, congratulations, Alvin Reyes. Wow. Congratulations to our winners tonight. And again, thank you so much for watching us. And if you miss our live show, You can listen to our podcasts on Amazon Podcast, Google Podcast, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and a lot of other platforms. But before we end the show, Kuya Randy, what are your last words or what's your final message for our viewers tonight?
Well, I just want to invite especially the professionals to join us with Night of Rizal. This is one of the biggest organization. Actually, this is under Republic Act 646, just like the Boy Scout of the Philippines. Mm-hmm. Promoting the life and works of Dr. Jose Rizal. Actually, mm-hmm. we have a lot of members now worldwide, and mm-hmm. we have regular regional commanders ball and also international. We are also in Europe, Canada, mm-hmm. US, Australia, and other parts of the world. So, and to those who want to help us with putting up the Rizal Park, please don't hesitate to call us or email us at cofieldtex@yahoo.com mm-hmm. So that we can realize our big dream of putting up a Rizal Park in Houston, Texas.
Wow, that is awesome. So again, if you want to support Knights of Rizal to put up this Rizal Park in Houston, Texas, just make sure to get hold of Kuya Randy Datu. And again, thank you so much po for spending your time with us tonight and sharing your story and just leading life in your own terms and leading life by helping people in the community. Thank you for taking that bold step to be an example of great leadership and to be an example of being a servant of the community. We truly, truly appreciate every contribution that you do for our community. And again, tonight, thank you for all our viewers. Please watch us again Monday, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time for our next episode. Good night, everyone. Live life boldly and God bless.